So this passion, this Good Friday, it's good for us. It was certainly hard for the Lord. It began very early this morning, around 6 a.m., when the Lord was summoned before. He'd already had a sort of a midnight mock trial before the Caiaphas and the other leaders. And they considered him a blasphemer. They rent their garments and they sentenced him to death, but they could not carry it out, so they sent him to Pilate, and you know the story. Pilate was troubled by this request. It didn't make any sense to him. He was not a strong man. He was a weak man, but he didn't lack any sense of justice, and he knew that these were trumped-up charges. These were charges that had no real bearing in the truth. But because of his fear and his weakness, he said, well, let me send him to Herod. Herod didn't have much to say. By 9 o'clock then, Herod returned him, and Pilate washed his hands and sent Jesus off to be crucified. By noon today, he was nailed to the cross, and by 3 o'clock, he had died. That's what has happened up till now. And I have reflected with you on this before, but I think it's a worthy reflection, which it doesn't find any place on our liturgical calendar per se, but it is nevertheless a very, very important event that took place, starting this afternoon at 3 and continuing until very early on Sunday morning when the Lord rose. And that event is Christ's descent to the dead. We say in the Creed he descended to hell. It is not the hell of the damned, but rather it was the hell, if you will, or the lower realms of the earth where all the dead had been detained and they could not go to heaven, but they awaited the Messiah. And so at this 3 o'clock hour today, the Lord gave up his spirit and he didn't go into suspended animation. He went down among the dead. And again, although there is no liturgical feast to celebrate this, we say it every Sunday in the Creed, and it is taking place now in the sense that those ancient events are made present to us. So let me read you a couple of things to reflect with you and keep it very brief tonight on what is now taking place as Jesus is down among the dead, all of those who were awaiting the Messiah. This is a quotation from a second century African homilist. We don't know the name of that homilist. Perhaps it was Athanasius, perhaps it was Tertullian. And it says this: today, as of now, a great silence reigns on the earth, a great stillness, a great silence because the king is asleep. The earth trembled and is now still, because God has fallen asleep in the flesh, and he has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. For now he has gone down among the dead in search of Adam, our first father, as for a lost sheep, greatly desiring to visit those who live now in Sheol, in that place of darkness and the shadow of death. Jesus has gone to free them from sorrow. Adam in his bonds and Eve is captive with him. He who is both their God and the son of Eve, he now approached Adam and Eve, and awakening them, said, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, for Christ shall give you light. And he goes on and says to them, I am your God, who for your sake have become your son. I order you, O sleeper, awake. I did not create you, O Adam, O Eve, to be a prisoner in hell. So rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. It's a beautiful moment, isn't it? Adam and Eve, who got us into all this trouble. You might have seen some Eastern icons that show Jesus pulling Adam and Eve up out of their tombs, and their coffin lids are in the shape of a cross, and Christ is standing on that cross and pulling Adam and Eve up out of their tombs. And that beautiful line, rings from the tradition. I, who am your God, for your sake have become your son. And I say to you, arise, arise from the dead. Saint Ephrem the deacon also preached, and he says this: death could not devour our Lord unless he possessed a body, and neither could hell swallow him up unless he bore our flesh. And so he came in search of a chariot in which to die and then ride to the underworld. And this chariot was first his body, which he received from the Virgin. And then in his soul, he invaded death's fortress. He broke open its strong room and he scattered all of his treasures. He broke into the devil's trophy room. He turned it out. He began to take back holy souls that the devil had stolen, snatching them from Satan's grasp. A remarkable meditation. Scripture says in 1 Peter chapters 3 and 4, it simply says this regarding this moment: for Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And being put to death in the flesh, he was made alive in the spirit. And he went down to the netherworld and proclaimed to the souls there in prison. And this is why then the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh, the way people are, they might live in the spirit as God does. And so the Lord now is down among the dead, and he is preaching to them and calling them to repentance in no different way than us. And those who hear his voice and who waited for his call, those who had lived justly and waited for him, hear his voice and shout amen. And those who had rejected him still reject him. But he is down among the dead and he is preaching the gospel to them there. Just a few thoughts from the Catechism, then I'm done. The Catechism of the Catholic Church reflects on this great moment. The first meaning given to the apostolic preaching in Christ's descent to hell is that Jesus, like all men, experienced death, and his soul joined the others down there in the realm of the dead. But he descended there as a savior, proclaiming the good news to the spirits imprisoned there. Scripture calls this abode of the dead to which Christ went hell, but it really is Sheol in Hebrew or Hades in Greek, because those who are there are deprived of the vision of God. Such is the case for all the dead. It is precisely the holy souls who awaited their Savior, whom Christ the Lord then delivered from the dead when he descended into that realm that is called hell. Jesus did not descend into hell to deliver the damned, nor to destroy the hell of the damned, but to free the just who had gone before him. So the gospel was preached even to the dead. The descent into hell brings the gospel message to a complete fulfillment. This is the last phase of Jesus' messianic mission, a phase that is condensed in time but is vast in its significance. The spread of Christ's redemptive work to all men of all times and all places, for all who were saved by his blood, have now been made sharers in his redemption. Oh yes, Christ went down into the depths of death so that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live, as Jesus himself said. Jesus is the author of life, and by dying destroyed him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Hebrews chapter 2. And then finally, Revelation. Henceforth, in the risen Christ holds the keys of death and Hades, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, whether in the heavens, on the earth, or under the earth. Christ is now, or was at this moment, after he died on the cross, went down among the dead, not to repose there, not to stay in a comatose condition, but to preach the gospel and to summon those who had awaited the Messiah to the life for which they longed. It is a beautiful, powerful moment for us to meditate on. Tonight, think of that. Tomorrow, think of it. That's where Christ went, in a beautiful, saving mission to the dead. Amen.